Posloucháte On Air Rádia Wave, dnes výjimečně půl hodinku s Jiřím Špičákem a se mnou je tady taky turinská kapela Larsen. Hello guys, welcome to Radio Wave. Turinská kapela Larsen se dá považovat za legendu undergroundu. Tahle italská kapela už se na scéně pohybuje více než 20 let a dnes večer konkrétně v 7:30 zahraje v pražském klubu Roxy Noudy. A je tady se mnou i Robert Candra, který bude dnes se schopností sobě vlastní fungovat jako překladatel.
Doufejme, ahoj posluchači.
Tak a protože Larsen dnes zahrají i se zpěvačkou Little Annie, která už je součástí kapely, nemůžu se nezeptat hned na začátek, jak přesně došlo k tomu, že se Little Annie stala právoplatnou členkou kapely Larsen.
Well, the first question is pretty obvious. How it happened that Annie became a full member of the band?
We played a festival together in 2007. We decided to say we are not actually kind of
in
Krems, the Donald Festival in Krems, and our mutual friend David Tibet was the curator of that edition, and so both Lars and Annie were performing. And after our performance, Annie came to us and told us that she really wanted to sing with us, and she would have kicked the door of the recording studio down if we were not inviting
that's
her.
That's right, you know? That's exactly my word. I think that's my words verbatim.
And we just thought that there was no need actually to kick the door, because I mean, we've always been a huge fan of her work and we felt honored. And also, you know, sometimes there are synchronicity happening in life. That is also the moment when we already decided that we want to give a different direction to our music and the way we were writing, and try to make it more like song-like, you know, and so it was great just to have the chance to work with a fantastically resistant singer and unique voice like Annie. So, you know, just pieces came along together. Mm-hmm. And we were in the studio a few weeks after, actually, you know, it didn't pass lots of time.
It was very quick, yeah. Actually, yeah, you know, and when we'd been working together anyway on, you know, on touring and things like that, so, and just nice people. You know what and nice people.
Thank you.
you know, love. It's like la familia.
La familia.
Tak slyšeli jste, že to všechno začalo společným vystoupením na festivalu Donaufest v Kremži a zrovna se to potkalo s obdobím, kdy si Larsen zrovna říkali, že by se mohli nasměrovat někam víc písničkovi, že by se jim možná hodila právě nějaká vokální linka do těch věcí, takže takhle se to hezky potkalo, protože Annie taky říká, že si hodně sedli a užili si společné hraní, tak dokonce řekla, že pokud ji nevemou do kapely, tak vykopne dveře u nahrávacího studia, tak aby k tomuhle nemuselo dojít, tak vstoupila do sestavy.
Často se zmiňuje, píšou to různí publicisté, že Annie se inspiruje v estetice Výmarského kabaretu. Jakým způsobem se tahle záliba promítla do toho finálního zvuku Larsen, jak ho můžeme slychat dnes?
Well, Annie is often referred to as taking inspiration from the Weimar cabaret. Do you think you brought that with you into the Larsen sound?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the Weimar tag. I think, I mean, though I'm more of a kind of disco soul queen, you know, I mean, but like a Weimar disco soul queen. So I think you bring yourself with you, where, of course, but also my roots originally started doing, I guess the avant-garde, I just didn't know it was avant-garde. You know, I didn't know what this word meant, so I was
just... She's making it even more avant-garde.
Yeah, I thought I was making disco records. Yeah. So in a way, it was also like going back to my start, you know, because I did, it's almost like a full circle of beats and rhythms and sound. I don't see any separation in genre, I just see good and bad. So, you know... Mm-hmm.
Tak Annie říká, že ten svůj zvuk inspirovaný touhle scénou si samozřejmě vzala sebou do sestavy Larsen, nicméně říká, že obsala takový vlastně celý kruh ke svým počátkům, kde se nechala inspirovat tady tou avantgardou, aniž by si byla přímo vědoma, že to avantgarda je, což je podle Fabricia ještě o to větší avantgarda.
I thought it was something you have before dinner. Like orders. In English, it's hors d'oeuvres. I thought it was hors d'oeuvres.
Oh,
I'm from the Bronx. I didn't know even what avant-garde meant. I didn't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
The Weimar I knew.
Ještě drobná elaborace k tomu, slyšeli jste.
Na aktuální desce Larsen, lépe řečeno na poslední desce Cool Cruel Mouth z roku 2011 je skladba, která se jmenuje It Was a Very Good Year a jak možná někdo z vás ví, je to skladba, kterou v 60. letech proslavil Frank Sinatra, což je ve spojení s Larsen trošku neobvyklé spojení, tak by mě zajímalo, jaký je vztah členů Larsen k Franku Sinatrovi.
What's your relationship towards Frank Sinatra?
Gentlemen, why look at me?
Because you have a very tight and
I don't know. I think it's kind of like someone that we all liked, and so we like the idea of doing, you know, a record like a cover. But after that, I don't think, especially us Larsen, we have any connection with crooners. But the nice thing was probably to have Annie to do the part of the crooner, and we kind of like happy that. He's not alive anymore, so we'll probably kick our ass
after. He love you.
Yeah?
He love you. And also because, I mean, there's also Robbie and Paolo, you know, and they make these ambient, you know, those songs kind of lend themselves to a kind of ghostly ambience. You know, there's a certain sadness to that song, a lot of sadness. So you could kind of... There was a lot to work with. It's a great raw song.
I think something we can all connect to about the song are the lyrics. You know, I mean, none in Larsen is young anymore. Actually, in the elevator, saying that we were too old, which is even more than being young. And so the song is perfect. And also was also a way to give a kind of continuity between what Annie did with her solo career and now working together, because she already recorded that with Paul Wolfish in one of our albums. So it was kind of like, you know, a way to cross what we were doing and take it to a different level.
Mm-hmm. Tak Frank Sinatra je inspirací pro Larsen, i když to není úplně nějaký bezprostřední vliv, že by byl spojený s touhle scénou. Každopádně tady ta věc se jim pěkně hodila jako cover. Jednak se to potkalo v tom smyslu, že Annie už tuhle věc jednou skaverovala dřív a zároveň ta věc hodně sedí, řekněme, ke kapele po té textové stránce, ke které se dokážou pěkně vztáhnout.
Teď přijde možná taková trošku obecnější otázka. Často se o Larsen píše v tom smyslu, že je to undergroundová kapela, ale občas mi přijde, že ten samotný pojem underground už je trochu vyprázdněný. Takže co znamená to slovo underground pro kapelu Larsen?
Well, it's a very simple question. What does underground mean to you? Because it's been questioned many times. And what does it mean to you?
Oh, this is a good question. It's going to take a few hours to elaborate on that. I actually don't know. I have an idea of what underground is, and I think it's more related not so much to a genre music, but more about an attitude and also a way to deal with the market. There is no market anymore, there's no business anymore, but still there is an underground attitude toward that, you know, that if you want you can reconnect to the DIY scene, but even more than that is, you know, to be very focused on your goal, both from an artistic point of view and from a political point of view, political in the possible more wide open way, you know. And I think that in a way underground always existed and always will. Actually, especially now, then the market and the music business completely fade and collapse. The only thing that is remaining are those people that somehow took everything in their own hand and they never had, you know, the idea of being successful in business terms, but just being successful in being capable of doing what they want to do it for the right audience, doing with the right people, and, you know, keep it, you know, within that circuit, you know. So I think that is underground. So I still believe, maybe in a very utopic way, that underground is a place where you can have the freedom to release your creativity.
Well, I think people you know, Anthony won the in the Johnsons, they won the award in Britain, mm-hmm. And deservedly so. And he hasn't compromised his integrity of his music or himself. Yeah. So I don't even think, I think at one time maybe it meant, you know, being marginalized to the under, you know, where now, for me anyway, it's like if you give yourself like 2 billion, well, nobody sells 2 billion of anything, but if 2 billion people download it for free, I think it's still
still is.
If you remain true to your vision.
That it is, yeah, I agree. It's a matter of attitude at the end. It's definitely a matter of attitude.
Tak členové Larsen tady tu složitou otázku shrnuli v podstatě do takového poznatku, že se tady ta undergroundová nálepka týká spíš, řekněme, formy šíření už dneska, protože šíření hudby, protože v době, kdy samozřejmě kolabuje ten klasický model hudební distribuce, tak je tohle ta cesta, jak si udržet kreativní svobodu a vlastně volnost tady v těch aspektech. Eni k tomu dodává, že pro ní je příkladem undergroundového umělce třeba Anthony Hegarty, který přestože dosta vyhrává ceny, je známý populární umělec, tak se nikdy vlastně neskompromitoval tu svou integritu hudební uměleckou, takže v tomhle smyslu.
Ačkoliv se to zdá nepravděpodobné, tak Larsen mají i spojení s českou, respektive československou kulturou, protože před několika lety přichystali projekt, který se jmenuje Abeceda, který vychází z díla českého avantgardního teoretika umělce Karla Taigeho a básníka Vítězslava Nezvala. Takže jsme v Praze a nemůžeme se nezeptat, jak Larsen narazili vůbec na tvorbu Taigeho a Vítězslava Nezvala.
So guys, could you explain a bit your Abeceda works, the alphabet. How did you ever come across these the works of Nezval and Taigen, these Czech poets?
Yes, Robbie, the other guitar player of the band, is also a graphic designer, and he designed all of the artwork of Larsen. You know. And of course, being a graphic designer, he has a specific focus on the kind of art. So he actually is the one that introduced the work of Taigen, you know, to the band. And we always felt connected to historical avant-garde because we always liked this working on the verge of totally craziness and coming out from kind of a ground zero, reinventing everything, inventing the art, the language, the way to sell in it, everything, which was totally fullness, you know, totally madness, but at the same time very focused and very tight, you know, and we like the kind of tension, we love the kind of tension in art, in life in general, you know, walking on the verge is more interesting than be one thing or the other, there's just more tension happening, and so we always be big fan of that historical period, and in a specific way then searching into the original Abeceda project, we discovered that was unfinished, that I mean it was just the beginning of a project that was supposed then to be staged and become a theater piece, and being the arrogant people that we are, we thought, okay, they didn't, so we could do it. And so we decided to continue that project, of course, making ours. So we completely changed the test. Actually, for that project, we worked with other musicians, and the lyrics were in the end of David Tibet of Cario 93. So we called David because he has this very poetic attitude about things, and he's capable to take out, you know, the mythical and mystical side of a ladder, which is exactly what we were needing for this. And then we work with Johan Johansson for some more electronic tester, our friend Julia Kent for the strings arrangement, and Baby D for the piano and the art part. And a choreographer and dancer and actress that was staging actually and giving life to the original artwork, which was a dancer posing in the shape of ladders. And we had this performer that was actually doing that live on stage plus visuals. So we said, okay, let's put all the elements together, let's mix it, let's change it, let's make it Larsen and re-offer it to the audience. Mm-hmm.
Tak cesta k dílu tady té československé avantgardy vedla přes kytaristu Robbieho, který je taky designer grafik, takže ten o tohle zavadil původně, přinesl toho zbytku kapely a tady k tomu období historické avantgardy má velmi pozitivní vztah ve smyslu, že baví takové to znovu objevování všeho prakticky. A rozhodli se ve své spupnosti v úvozovkách, že tady tu věc dotáhnou ještě dál, než byl její původní záměr, takže skutečně zrealizovali poriové provedení se vším všudy, zlanařili řadu dalších hudebníků, jak jste slyšeli, mezi jiným třeba Davida Tibeta a tak dál, aby jim s tím pomohli a vylezla z toho tady ta vlastně věc.
Tak a protože se nám čas bohužel krátí a kapela Larsen už se pomalu musí přepravit do prostoru pražského klubu Noudy, kde dnes v 7:30 zahrají svůj koncert. Dáme si poslední otázku, která je taková klasická. Larsen a její členové mají spoustu bočních projektů a pro posluchače, kteří tuhle turinskou scénu zase tak neskoumají, může být trošku obtížné se v nich vyznat. Takže na čem právě teď Larsen pracují a kterému tomu bočnímu projektu se hodlají v nejbližší době věnovat nejvíc?
Well, you have famously quite a lot of musical projects going on at the time. Could you explain to the listeners what is it that you are concentrated on at the moment? What's going to happen next with
at Larsen? Well, next is tonight. You know, I mean, now we're doing this, and then we a few months ago in July, yeah, we released a new album, XXSI, which is. Actually, it's not a side project of Larsen, it's a different band, even if basically most of the people involved are the same, but it's Larsen plus Jamie Stewart of Shushu. Actually, in the album is plus Shushu, so whoever is in Shushu in that moment as well, that in this specific way is Angela Sale. And we just released the third album together as XXL. We did a tour in June, and we're going to do another one in the spring. So this is what we have now, and this is what we're focusing on. And we were discussing about to record a new Larsen album at a certain point in 2014, hopefully to have it out at the end of next year or the beginning of 2014, you know, something like that. And then we have a project in standby that is not really taking shape, you know. We got a commission for a soundtrack, but it's there in the air. So hopefully that is coming along as well.
Okay. Tak slyšeli jste krátkou ukázku toho, čím se Larsen právě teď zabývají, kromě turné k desce Larsen a k desce z XXL, tak se chystají na další, na natáčení další desky Larsen, ke které zase bude turné, a také tady ve vzduchu zakázka na soundtrack, která zatím nicméně ještě nemá úplně konkrétní obrysy, takže potud Larsen.
Tak my děkujeme Larsen, že přišli do studia Waves. So guys, thank you for coming.